Hello, welcome back. And hello, welcome back. And in this session, we're going to talk about rapport. Is rapport important? No, it's not important. It's crucial. And before we can get into leading people to the outcome that we want them to achieve and the ones that we want to achieve, so that win-win approach that we've been talking about a lot, the first thing we need to be able to make that happen is rapport. So what is rapport? Well, according to the Concise Oxford English Dictionary, rapport is defined as a close and harmonious relationship in which there is common understanding. For me, the important bit there is relationship, and relationship is absolutely critical to rapport and rapport building. The question I've got really is, are you more likely to buy something from somebody you like or someone you don't like? And the answer, of course, is someone you like. You might buy it from somebody you don't like, but you're never going to get that same kind of feeling of a good outcome than you would get if you buy something from somebody you do like. And if we talk about rapport and we think about rapport, there are probably some people in the world you would say you had a rapport with. Do you have any friends? I'm sure you have. And if you think about your friends, what is it that makes them friends? And usually when I ask that question, people say things like, we have similar interests. Maybe similar experiences. So perhaps, you've grown up together, you've been to the same school, you've been to the same clubs, whatever. Maybe at a deeper level, you share beliefs and values. Perhaps you have the same sense of humor. And perhaps, you speak the same language. You've got that same kind of background. Maybe you've got similar backgrounds as well. Maybe you're on the same wavelength. And you can kind of see where I'm going with this. The reality is that we tend to like people who are like us. So, we're attracted to people who have the same kind of understanding of the world, the same sort of map of the world, the same sort of beliefs and values. And I guess from a friendship point of view, we have different levels of friendship. So there are some people who, well, let's say I play hockey and I get on well with the guys I play hockey with. We've got similar interest. We have a laugh when we're playing. We go and have a drink afterwards. But I don't mind if I don't see them for the whole season. I'm not really that interested in what's going on in their lives. But you may also have friends who you've not seen for a couple of years. I mean, I know we've got friends who we might not see for 2 years. And when we get back together, it's like we've never been apart. So on a much deeper level, we have that kind of understanding and shared beliefs and values, and maybe our map of the world is very similar. So we like people who are like us. And if you think about the people you've got a rapport with, because I guess you probably find it easier to communicate with some people than with other people. And the people you find it easier to communicate with and influence, you would probably say that you have a rapport with them. So they're probably similar to you in lots of ways. The problem is that we aren't like everybody in the world. And the problem with that, of course, is that we have to communicate with and work with and influence people who aren't like us. And sometimes people we don't like. So the more like them we are, the more rapport we can choose to build with them, the more likely we are to get that win-win outcome that we're looking for. And like with lots of things in NLP, this happens unconsciously. So the people who you've naturally got a rapport with, that's an unconscious process. But if it's something that we do unconsciously, we can bring it into our conscious and have a choice about it. So let's have a look at where rapport comes from and where the research comes from. Well, essentially, Research into rapport and rapport building and relationship and the way that people work together, it comes from two different directions, really. One is from sort of social psychology and the other is from neuroscience. So the social psychology side, researchers were carrying out some research into communication and effective communication. And so we're videoing people who got on really well and you know, were known to get on really well. So they'd video them having a conversation. And then when they were rewinding it, do you remember rewinding videos? Well, when they were rewinding the video, you know how you start to notice gestures more effectively when you're fast forwarding or rewinding than you do when you look at it at normal speed and you've got the sound as well. And they started to realize that very often when people were talking who were getting on really well, who would say that they had a rapport, they noticed that their body language matched. So if one of them folded their arms while they were talking, the other one would. If one leaned forward, the other would. And so started to do some more research into looking at body language of the people who were in rapport and started to realize that this is a phenomenon that's really exists, that when people are in rapport, their kind of body language matches the way that they speak. And also the tone of voice does as well, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Look at it yourself, you know, notice it yourself. When you go out into a restaurant, you'll notice couples who get on really well will match each other's body language. So one will lean forward and pick the glass up. The other person will copy that. One person might eat and the other person will eat. If you look at a bunch of guys in a bar, they've probably got the same foot on the bar rail, the same elbow on the bar. Just nearly knocked my iPad off then. Got the same elbow on the bar. They'll drink at the same time. They might laugh at the same time. But, you know, just be aware about staring at people in bars. It's probably not a good thing to do long term. But start to notice it in meetings. People who have got the same opinion, body language will match. So from a social psychology point of view, this was basically done just by observing and looking at how people operated and how they worked when they were in rapport or not in rapport, as the case may be. There's also the neuroscience approach to this, which we'll look at now. And part of the neuroscience research into rapport came across what have been called mirror neurons. And the research scientist, Professor Marco Iacoboni, I'm not sure whether that's how you pronounce it, but it sounds reasonable to me, from Parma, was doing some research into which neurons fire in the brain when monkeys were doing particular things. So they were trying to map the brain out and see whether there was a connection between certain movements and certain neurons. And so we were experimenting with peanuts, putting peanuts in front of a monkey. And when and had their various parts of their brain wired so that when a monkey reached for a peanut, the certain area of the brain fired and there was a buzzer sounded to say that these neurons had just fired, so that they could monitor which neurons were doing what. And so going through this experiment, one of the peanuts fell over. So the researcher leaned forward to pick the peanut back up and the buzzer went off. And they noticed that the monkey hadn't moved, it was still watching. So being the curious people they are, they did it again, they set it up. And every time the researcher picked a peanut up, the same neurons fired in the brain of the monkey as if the monkey was actually picking that up. So what we're saying here is that when the monkey does a particular action, certain neurons fire in the brain. But when it watches that action being undertaken by somebody else, the same neurons fire in the brain. And so what we're saying here is that mirror neurons tie us to other people's actions. And there is a theory that it's one of the reasons people like to watch sport, because the same part of the brains fire in our own brains as observers as if we were actually playing the game. And so that doesn't just tie us to the action, but also to emotions as well. And this has important implications in terms of how we build rapport and what rapport means to us. And I know that working as a therapist, one of the key things that I will do when my client is talking is I'll match their body language and notice how I feel when they're talking. And I notice that it will change my state. I'm not necessarily exactly the same state as the other person, but I can check that out then. So, you know, are you feeling Are you feeling anxious when you're talking about this? Does that give you a feeling of excitement or anxiety? Whatever it may be. So by matching other people's body language, not only can we help to build a rapport with somebody, but we can actually start to feel the way that they're feeling sometimes as well, which is a bit spooky, but nevertheless, it works. So let's look about at how we can build rapport then. So the key to building rapport with somebody is around matching behavior. We've already mentioned matching body language and copying somebody else's body language. And if you remember this diagram from the effective communication module, then what we're saying here is that 55% of the meaning of the message you're giving somebody is around your body language. So if your body language matches somebody else's, then 55% of the message you're giving somebody is saying, I'm like you. And if I'm like you, I will like you, because we talked about that in terms of how friends, it's about similarities. And if I like you, I'm more likely to listen to what you have to say. So by matching somebody's body language, it's not a guarantee that you're going to sell people something they don't want to buy. But what it does mean is that they're more likely to listen to what it is you have to say. So that's about matching body language. And as I've said before, you'll notice that when people are in rapport, this is what happens naturally anyway. So if you choose to match somebody's body language, then what you're doing is you're stepping into their world and seeing the world through their eyes, which is really, really important. And you're helping to be like them, which means you're breaking down some barriers and you're going to build rapport with somebody. Couple of tips though, don't match nervous twitches, because people don't know that they do it. And if they see that in somebody else, it becomes more obvious that that's unusual. Also, if somebody moves their arms around a lot when they talk and they're waving, then don't copy that. Because if you're sat there listening to somebody and you're going, that's going to look a little bit strange. And people will probably notice that and then make the connection between the copying and at a conscious level. Because what happens at an unconscious level naturally is they will notice your body language. And because they notice your body language at an unconscious level, and you know what your own body language is at an unconscious level, what you notice is this person is like me. So if this person is like me, I like them. And that's at an unconscious level. If you're sitting there waving your arms around, then that goes from the unconscious to the conscious. And if you remember way back to at the first introduction to NLP, when we were talking about conscious and unconscious, that's like the red lights coming on in the car in front. So it snaps you back to reality. You become aware of lots of other things at a conscious level, including the fact that this person's copying my body language. So if they wave their arms around a lot when you talk, then it's a good idea not to do that. You can do two things though. One is you can make smaller gestures, which you can't see, which are similar, and you move at the same time that they move, but you're not making the big gestures. The other thing you can do is you can choose to copy their gestures when it's your turn to speak. So somebody might say, so I came out of the house and there were all these cars parked down the road. Now, as a listener, you wouldn't sit there and say, but what you can do is when it's your turn to speak, you could say, okay, so what did you do about them and then? So you see what I did? So by using their body language and their gestures when it's your turn to speak, you're speaking the same language and you're being like them. So that's body language. In terms of tone of voice, we've already mentioned that do you find that your accent changes when you start talking to somebody from another part of the country? Well, I'm not suggesting that you think, right, I'm going to phone someone from Newcastle now, so I need to put my Geordie accent on. I'm not suggesting that you put accents on. What I'm suggesting is you just let that happen naturally, that the accent change and just let that happen. But there's more to the way that people speak than just accent. So there is volume, there is inflection, there's pauses, there's sort of the quality to the voice, there is the pace that people speak. And then maybe it might be kind of lower, but we'll talk about more about that in a later session. One of the insurance companies in their online, not online, their telesales department wanted to increase their sales. And if you've ever done telesales, you'll know that it's a numbers game. You might make 1,000 phone calls. 990 people might put the phone down. 10 people might listen to your full pitch, and one person might buy. And I'm being generous just for the numbers. If you could get 1,000 people to listen to your sales pitch, then maybe you would sell to 10 or 100 people for the same number of phone calls. So what this insurance company did was they started by matching the way that people speak when they answer the phone. And this is quite a simple thing to do, because when you phone somebody up, they speak first, usually when they answer the phone. So that's what they did. They didn't change their script. They didn't change their flow chart, their decision-making process. They didn't change the product. They didn't change anything other than they matched the way that people speak when they pick the phone up. And they increased their sales by 53% in the first year, just by doing that. Now, in my job, I have to speak to the people who sign the checks. Well, they don't sign checks anymore, but the person who's got the authority to pay me and make that decision is the person I need to speak to sell whatever it is that I'm selling. And in every organization, there are people whose job it is to stop people like me talking to the person who signs the checks. There are PAs, there are receptionists, there are managers, there are all kinds of gatekeepers between me and the person I need to speak to. So what I started to do was I started to build rapport with whoever answered the phone, because I think that's a good thing to do generally. So I'd phone somebody up and they would answer the phone and say, good morning. So I'd say, good morning, can I speak to Mr. Smith? Or I might phone and they say, good morning. So I would say, good morning, can I speak to Mr. Smith, please? And I had a PA on a course a couple of years ago, and she said, yeah, it's funny you should say that, because part of my job is screening calls for the MD. So I can see myself going through into the MD and saying, Martin called, can you give him a ring back? Or I can see myself going through to the MD and saying, this guy wants you to ring him. Which one is the MD more likely to call back? So the PA can quite easily, unconsciously influence the MD. So by building a rapport with whoever you're meeting helps you to get through to who you need to talk to. So that's about matching tone of voice and the way that people speak. Also, we've mentioned earlier in the communication session about matching the words that people use. Because matching the words that people use can help you to build a rapport with them. If you understand their jargon, then that's really helpful. Because in every organization and in every endeavor, and NLP is absolutely no exception to this at all, there is jargon that's associated with that endeavor. And if you understand the jargon, then you're part of that in-group and you're speaking the same language as somebody else. And this is why I think it's really important, because if you don't understand the language that people are using, then it's a little bit like going to France on holiday and ordering a beer in English, and then when they don't understand, asking for it in English again, but louder and slower. If they didn't understand it the first time, they're not going to understand it the second. And one of the best ways to break rapport is to do that. So building rapport is a mix of body language, tone of voice, and words. Matching the body language is the quickest and most effective way to build rapport, because it happens at an unconscious level. The tone of voice that you use and the way that you speak has, 38% of an effect, and 7% is around the words is important, but not absolutely critical. So is the least important, we should say. If the other two are there, then the third one won't really matter at all. So it's important to get the first two right. And what you can do is start to notice people's body language and how they respond and how the effective the communication is when you're in rapport with other people. I've got a couple of examples here of a group rapport of a large number of people of being in the same state, if you like. So maybe feeling the same thing, maybe experiencing the same thing in the same way. So this is a really good example of group rapport. And, just look at the body language there and the matching body language between the players on the pitch and the crowd watching, almost everybody has got their hands on their heads at the same time. And I imagine they've got a very strongly shared emotional experience there. And this doesn't just happen in sporting situations and at sporting events. Here's an example from a course that I ran a few years ago. You'll notice that they're smiling a lot, and that's because I told them to freeze. I noticed that they were all pretty much in the same posture. I asked them to not move so that I could take a photo, which took a so it looks like it's posed. It's actually not posed, but it is just really interesting to see how everybody in the group has got exactly matching body language or mirroring body language. And there is a difference between matching and mirroring, and it's worth just mentioning that. So matching is if somebody lifts their left hand and you lift your left hand, that's matching. So that's left and left. If somebody lifts their left hand and you raise your right hand, then that's mirroring because it's like looking in a mirror. So it's the same. And reality in terms of rapport is that there's no real difference between matching or mirroring. It doesn't really matter which way you do it. It's the movement that's the same because remember the monkey, it's the movement that fires the neurons, which creates the same kind of experience. So rapport is really, really important. And in the next session, we're going to talk about how rapport is part of one of the key processes of NLP. So think about, notice when you're in rapport with other people, try it out yourself. And one of the things is it's a really good way to get you served quickly in a bar is to match the people behind the bar. I'm not suggesting you stand there and pretend to pour pints, but you know, if you think about it from their point of view, if you're working in a busy bar and you see somebody you like, you're much more likely to serve them before the person who's banging with it, with his mug on the bar or his glass on the bar. So by building rapport with people, it means you're much more likely to get better service in restaurants, you better service in pubs, and you might get some better deals when it comes to buying things. And we'll talk more about that when we get on the face-to-face part. But practice your rapport building. Try it out in non-critical situations. I wouldn't suggest that the first time you go in to start matching somebody's body language is when you're in a multi-million pound negotiation, but try it in those kind of safer environments first and practice. And I look forward to seeing you on the next session.